Welcome to the Why Not Today podcast, where we support entrepreneurs who take bold actions, clear steps to start a business, get unstuck, and grow with more clarity, confidence, and courage. I'm Leslie Kane, a courage coach and the founder of the Why Not Today movement. I created this podcast in honor of my dad, Patrick Kane, who often said, "Why not today?" And now this has become a guiding question in my life and my business. Each week, you'll hear solo episodes where I coach through common business challenges and guest interviews that go beyond inspiration to teach you what actually works. Whether you're launching something new or navigating a pivot, you'll leave each episode with a clear next step and a reminder that you're not alone. So let's dive into Why Not Today podcast that helps you grow with courage and by taking action. And just FYI, and I mention this every week, is we don't edit these episodes and they are real, true, just conversations. And I want it to be authentic. And that is really the Why Not Today message, is you just got to take action. It's not going to look pretty sometimes. And it sure as heck not going to be perfect, but you just got to start. So my guest today is a returning guest, Karen Cleveland, who was, I was looking through episode notes. You were actually episode 24 in the first year of the podcast. And we're at episode, we're in third year now, and about the point, I guess 2023, I started doing every week. So we're, I don't even know how many,
Wow.
close to 2 probably now, a lot of podcasts. So Karen and I have known each other a long time and started by a connection with my dad, and then we became close friends and I think really bonded during COVID when we walked around the lake many, 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 many days and solved lots of problems in life. And so I'm excited to have Karen back on again, and she is going to, depending on when you're listening to this, she's going to be the guest for the Why Not Today Connects luncheon. And so we thought it might be a good opportunity to revisit Karen on the podcast, talk a little bit about what you're going to talk about at the luncheon, just as a little teaser. But before we get into that, Karen, introduce a little bit about who you are, and a fun fact.
So, as you said, Karen Cleveland, I've been in the Reston area for, gosh, most of my adult life now. So, really pleased. Reston is one of the places that is so core to the person I am today. As far as my actual resume, I am a leadership coach, a facilitator, and a leadership trainer. But that's just my resume, if you will. I see myself really as a community builder, and it's the place that gives me the most joy. And I believe I've just written a thing about the letter C, culture and community primarily, and it goes with coaching and consulting. And I really, truly believe that if you are a good community steward and a community leader, you will be so much better in your profession and in your personal life. And feel so much more fulfilled than if you're just focused on your professional life.
So true. And to kind of tag on to a conversation we had the other day, we were talking about the Reston Chamber, which you were the first executive director. Is that correct? My dad started it. And it's interesting in talking. I was at network night the other day and somebody's like, "Is this your first event?" I'm like, "No, we've been here a minute." But really, in the chamber and talking about community, and it's interesting. After we had the conversation we did the other day about the chamber, I had the same conversation with a couple people about really why the chamber started in the eyes of my dad and the founders is it was really to build community. He did not have local business at all. And he was raising 6 children in the community. At the point that he started was when Amanda, my youngest sister, was just born with Down syndrome. And the community supported us as a family. And I know you lived through that with your dad in the Cincinnati area. And it's so much more than just where you're going to get business. And being supportive of a community, you get business.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. If you have dollar signs in your eyes or you're only after one thing, you're never going to get there. It's about really a holistic approach to your life. And clearly, I'm glad you mentioned my father and my mother, quite frankly. They were just such great examples of living your values and really caring about people in the community. So I grew up in that world and I didn't know anything different.
Exactly.
But then I came here and quite frankly, at first, I really struggled to find that sense of community. And I say here, I mean in Northern Virginia. I was young, I had a young family, and it was a challenge. And it was the Reston Chamber when I was recruited to run it. I said, no way, no way. I had worked at a chamber. I really didn't like the whole chest thumping, better than you, competitive kind of thing about chambers of commerce. And what I was told that really panned out to be true, which was we're different. We want to create a business community that is part of this experiment we call Reston, where everyone has the opportunity to thrive. And being a good business community is a critical part to the success of all Reston, but it can't be in isolation. So, what an incredible opportunity at 29 years old to step into that role and work with people who shared that value and to work alongside of them and learn so much every day. It was the best education ever.
So true. So before we get too far down this rabbit hole, what does courage mean to you, Karen, today? I mean,
Oh
we
my
met a
gosh.
couple years ago, but you might have it's funny, my repeat guests usually have a different definition.
Well, you know, it's funny. I never really thought of the definition of it, but I mean, I come from a football family, so it's gut and grit, you know, to actually do what you believe in and what you want to do. So I don't know that I have a definition for the word itself, but how it plays out is having the confidence and the connection to your values to actually live them and live with purpose.
So true. The
Too
only
many
person, I
people.
was
What's
going to say,
that?
the only person that's looked it up as a definition is my one brother.
I often do that before anything to find out what Webster says. But yeah, I mean, sometimes courage is a big thing, right? It's a big leap. And other times it's those little things. When to say what you believe and what you're feeling in the moment, and you know, and to trust yourself and to trust your gut. You know,
Absolutely.
you had
Sometimes, like,
another guest, Leslie, who comes to mind for this, Kiki LaTalia, and she talks about trust. But when she's talking about trust, she's also trusting other people. She's also talking about trusting yourself in your intuition and where your heart and your brain connect so that deciding if you're going to trust someone or something, because we know scientifically that we give trust and we only need to earn it when it's been lost. So if you're going to be brave enough, back to courage, to trust, you have to be in tune with your heart and your brain so that you can be more self-aware in that moment, but then trust yourself to, yeah, so trusting yourself and others.
Yeah, I've had some great definitions, and everybody's a little different with how they share it. And as I said, repeat guests, their definition changes where they are. So we often talk about why not today moments in your career, in your life, in your business. Can you remember any why not today moments when something happened like that was a pivotal, like you remember exactly where you were, what you're doing, that your life kind of took a 360 or shifted completely into a different direction?
Well, more why not today moments have happened to me when I haven't done them. And my guess is I'm not unique in that
Interesting. Have you
instance.
read Daniel Pink's book on regrets?
I sure have. And I've heard him speak on it. And, you know, and sometimes, and I doubt I'm alone in this either. So I hope some of your listeners are this way, where I don't really know what gets in the way. And that's where courage comes into this too, right? In the self-awareness piece. But I would say my most recent why not today moment really happened at a, you used the word pivotal, and I guess it became pivotal for me because I was doing something that I loved, being the CEO of Leadership Fairfax. So being able to work with incredible community leaders and then help build community leaders. So I was going to do that for 2 years and help out with a new strategic plan and moving the organization to a new level. And I ended up staying for eight.
Was it
And
that long?
it was 8 years. Yeah. Part of that was COVID was in the middle of there. And that was a whole new challenge to really figure out how we could do this remotely and all of that training and being there for people that really needed us in a different way. So that was a really fulfilling opportunity. And quite frankly, at Leadership Fairfax, being I'm an extrovert, I'm a leadership junkie, I love people, but I really wanted to surround myself with people who I wanted to be like. So people who inspired me to grow, people who inspired me to be a better person. And that's what I found there. I mean, it sounds so cliche to say we became like a family, but I tell you, they are my friends. They are the people that I go to for everything, or the relationships that I made through Leadership Fairfax. So this has happened to me now 3 times in my career where I just knew in my gut it was the right time for somebody else to come in and take the helm, and that I had done what I came there to do. So that just happened to me in December of 23.
Well, you know what you told me after after you were on the podcast. Is this what you're going to share?
I don't know. You
Pivotal
tell me.
moment. So you were on the podcast and then you reached out to me. I don't know. It wasn't that long after. And you said, I had a why not today moment or why not today action right after the podcast that you went in and put your resignation in the day we recorded the podcast. Is what you
Oh my
told me.
gosh. I had totally forgotten that, Leslie. Who
Yeah,
knew?
that you it just in our conversation had given you, so that was a sure why not today moment that you
Yeah.
were able to make that pivot and resign. Now you didn't leave right away because you stayed to get your replacement, which I respect about you, but yeah.
Oh, I had completely forgotten that. And I would say the one thing it's probably going to be your next question because I know we talked about some of the things that you wanted to talk about, which were the entrepreneurial moments, which that kind of is. And actually, if you don't mind, so the other 2 times I did that same pivot was when I left the Reston Chamber, which again, I told you what, how pivotal that was in my life.
Right.
Such a great learning. But I knew it was the right time to leave there. And then also Habitat for Humanity. I was there for 8.5 years and really felt like it was time for someone with a whole lot more housing experience to come in. And in all 3 cases, I've never regretted leaving.
Well, I think we know when that chapter is done or when it's time to move on, and being aware enough of those to not drag it out because we've seen situations where people shouldn't stay and they stay, and it just can take an organization down. Not that you personally would have done that, but I've seen that happen.
Oh, yeah. This is the best advice I got when I was at the Reston Chamber from a gentleman who was running the Board of Trade. He said, "Don't wait till you hit that wall because this is hard work. It's long hours and hard work, and you will hit a wall." He said, "But don't wait till then. Keep your eyes wide open. Otherwise, that's exactly what happens is you'll start to go down, and then that's nobody wants to leave on a down note."
Yeah.
But you
And
used
so
a great word, Leslie. You used chapter.
yeah.
And that's really how I feel, that I am in this new chapter. And it's lovely because I get to write it.
Isn't that the
And
truth?
I get the chance to write the end of my story whenever that is, which I hope is no time soon.
Yeah. And that's the beauty of entrepreneurship is you get to continue to write it. Like you work for a nonprofit and you're the executive director, but still you had a board you had to report to. And so that's the good and the bad of owning your own business is I always say the good thing is you don't have a boss, and the bad thing is you don't have a boss, nobody to direct you and nobody to tell you what to do or to help you get unstuck. And you know, there's a lot of stuckness of not taking action because we're overwhelmed. I'm one that I think, and we talked a little about this, and you can use your big description, which I don't remember the word now, but when we talked about it the other day, and then you text me the definition,
Oh,
but you know,
yeah.
I'm one, and we were talking about this. Like, and I even have a magnet on a refrigerator. It says, you know, I jump. I have an idea, and I jump before I completely think about it. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes that's not good. But you know, I test it, and it changes. And that is one thing I've found with a lot of my guests, or most probably all of my guests. Nobody starts here and ends here. There's a lot of ups and downs, and that's what we've really been talking about these days. Is kind of the messy middle that it's not always easy. There's some days that we're ready to quit, like give me a job again. And then I think that thought I have a couple times, and I'm like, heck no, I will do whatever it takes because I'm not going back. And I've been out of corporate America for almost 26 years, so that's a whole longer time.
Well, it took me a while this time because I did need to decompress for a while and give myself that grace to do that. And so then when I started really working, and this is what we'll talk about at your luncheon too, is this whole clarity around how do you get clarity on your vision? You can have a vision, but how do you get that clarity? And so I know the process. I work with clients on that process, but how do you widen that aperture to really look at everything in the world that you love and appreciate and want to be a part of? Which I know, like you, we both, there's so many things we're interested and curious about that it can be a lot. And then how do you do that sharpening of your focus in order to figure out where you want to go? So you just said something that really makes me think about this for entrepreneurs. And that is a board of directors. So, yes, technically I reported to my board every step of the way. I never felt like I reported to them. I felt like we were partners. And so I realized I was fortunate. That doesn't happen for everyone.
Differently.
But I was very fortunate to have that. And at Leadership Fairfax, when people go through our programs, one of the things we say to them about building relationships in their cohort and in their individual teams is take this opportunity to build your own personal board of directors. So I think as entrepreneurs, it would be really healthy for us to formalize that a little bit in our world. I know we all have our go-to people, but that goes back to the process I was telling you about the other day, and it's called design theory.
There's the big word.
Well, it's a pretty simple concept, but you know, what's that? What do they say? You have to name it, claim it, and reframe it, right? So we name things so that we can understand them better. So design theory is a human-centered process. So the first step of it is you define the problem you want to solve. So if that's, you know, happens to be where you want to go in your career, okay, well then that's the problem you want to solve. Then it's to brainstorm quickly. Don't get mired down in it, but brainstorm what are the possible solutions? And then, you know, you just really spend time thinking about what does that look like? How would I do that? What is that going to do for me? And then prototype it. And that's where your real strength is, right? You just go out and do it. Most people spend way too much time worrying about it, thinking about it, and they never get out and prototype. Prototype it, it's important to test it. And then when you test it, that's when you either refine it or maybe you throw it out the door and say, you know what? That just isn't for me.
And I think that's the entrepreneur roller coaster we're all on,
Yeah.
is knowing that when to pivot, mean when to throw something out. And it's not a failure. And I think so many people think, oh, it's a failure if it doesn't work. I'm like, no. You know, we failed at a lot of things, and you just take the lessons, as John Maxwell says, when you fall down, take the lessons, pick them up, and use them to, like, okay, that didn't work, so let's try this.
And we're not a public company, so it's a lot easier for us as entrepreneurs to do that. And boy, the tech industry should have taught us this lesson a long time ago. They always say fail fast.
And the world we're in now, I was talking to my sister earlier about AI and, you know, how fast is changing and where our world's going to be different so quickly. And somebody I heard or watched a video the other day talking about board of directors. And it said, take your top five favorite books, personal growth books, authors that you really admire, and put them into chat and have them summarize it. And then go back and say, when you're making decisions, use those as your board of directors. Say I'm trying to make a decision, use that as my board. And then obviously having the people around you, which is one of the things the Women Taking Action Inner Circle is doing. We've got, and I think Debbie Heiser, who we both know, talked about this in my podcast, lateral mentors. You know, completely different industries are going to give you suggestions, ideas, and a different viewpoint. You know, if you have a bank, a real estate business, and you ask all the bankers, all the real estate, they're all going to give you the same answer. But if you ask somebody in a completely different business, it's going to give you a whole different thought process.
That's why when we do executive searches and stuff, it's really critically important to make sure that the people that are in the room represent all those different viewpoints and perspectives so that you can really get, yeah, it's an important thing. Don't want to surround yourself with people who are just yes people.
No, definitely
Not
not.
fresh
And the
perspectives.
other thing, talking about the design theory and coming up with your prototype and thinking about anything is possible. I was listening to something else the other day, and it's a Harvard professor that teaches a class, and she has people write out their 10-year vision. Like, okay, I am waking up today on September 10th, 2035, and this is where, who's next to me? This is what I'm looking at, you know, your whole thing. And just think with anything is possible. And these days, you know, anything is possible.
Can I share a story with you, a real
Sure.
client story about that? So I do that with my clients, not all the time, but when they need it. So I had a client who worked for an ad agency, and it was a cause marketing agency, which means that they worked primarily with organizations and governments who had a specific policy bent or a cause. And she was young. She very young, a person of color, and she had come out of a traditional ad agency. And she was very frustrated because she was already a vice president, and I think she was 30 years old, but she wanted to be a senior vice president in no time. So she kept asking her bosses, "What do I need to do? What do I need to do?" Hard charging, hard charging, smart as a whip. She was so talented. And she was very frustrated there because they kept saying, "We're a different place. It's not all about bringing in business. It's about working collaboratively with your teammates." She told me one day, "You know how I interpret that? They want me going to baby showers." So it wasn't, there was a lot of this butting of heads, but the company respected her so much that they hired me to work with her. One, after about 6 months, she told me that she had submitted an idea to her professional society for their annual conference to do a, what would you call it? Like a session. And so she had to bring together all of these people to be on a panel. She had to be the director of how it was going to come together. So afterwards, we debriefed it and it went beautifully. And I said to her, "What you've just described to me is exactly what you're hearing from your bosses that they want you to do internally. Congratulations." About 2 hours later, she forwards an email or copies me on an email to her boss. And she said, "Just had a conversation with Karen. She told me I'm transformed. Now can I have my promotion?" So I said to her, you know, this is through the keyboard. I was like, "Where are you? And can you talk?" And she said, "I'm on a train, and I'm sorry to make this long, but there's a really good point here at the end." She said, "I'm on my way to New York to see my boyfriend, so I'm on the train. I can talk." So I asked her, I said, "Do you have a piece of paper?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "What I want you to do is turn it sideways, landscape. I want you to draw me a mountain, and then I want you to put a stream running right in front of that mountain. And then I want you to draw a picture of a very pretty woman, just like you, down by the stream. Now, what does this promotion look like to you? And where is that?" So she described that to me. I said, "Okay, here's the thing. It may or may not be all of that." And every, so we kind of went through that. So I said, "Here's what I want you to do. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to picture yourself at age 65, sitting on your back porch, looking back over your life. So tell me, what had meaning for you? What mattered?" So she started to tell me. And then everything she said, she swatted down. Like she'd say something, she's like, "I can't do that because I'm going to have to take care of my parents." And I said, "Are your parents ill?" She said, "No." I said, "Are they sick?" She said, "No." I said, "All right, we're not doing that. Let's just keep doing." So it was so beautiful, all the things she put there. So I said, "I'm going to be quiet and I want you to write those down because this is your mountaintop." So it was a wonderful session. She gets to New York. She's out to dinner with her boyfriend at a restaurant with those paper tablecloths, you know, the white paper tablecloths. So she's explaining to her boyfriend about this process. And he said, "Well, why don't we create our mountaintop right now?" So they started drawing on this paper what was important to them and what they wanted their lives to look like together and looking back over it. So fast forward, they get engaged shortly thereafter. She tells me she's going to leave her job here in the DMV because he's a rising star in New York City, and she's going to move up there. She starts applying to all these ad agencies, gets offered every job that she applied for, and she turned every one down. And she wasn't exactly sure why. But then she realized that by going through this process, there actually were some good things at the agency where she worked, lessons she should have learned if she was paying attention, about that it's not all about the money. It's not all about achievement, that there's more to life about this. So she actually did quit the job down here and was ready to move to New York. And it was her fiance who called her and said, "One of the things on our mountaintop is about being close to family. We have no family in New York. I think I'm the one that should quit my job and move to the DMV and let's start our life there." So he did. And she ended up taking a job running an ad agency, what would you call it? A big ad agency that wanted to open an office in DC. And so she actually brought to it all these now wonderful ideas that have worked for her. So it was not a traditional visioning, like a strategic plan for your life. It was about looking backwards from where you want to be.
And that's what the exact same thing I was talking about that podcast is like, let's talk about, you know, where do you want to be? And don't limit it. And I think that's what we do. Is limit like, oh, I couldn't possibly, that couldn't happen, or I can't do that. But we don't want to limit. And that's why the Why Not Today movement is to inspire us all to live our life, to be brave and pursue our dreams and not stay in that cookie cutter world. So
my client and her now husband and two children, I mean, how wonderful that they had that Why Not Today moment and were able to have the courage to actually make it happen. Now they have these two beautiful children and wonderful life.
Yeah, great story. Well, you pivoted on me. And so we didn't get to the other questions that I always ask and we're almost out of time. So I'm excited to have you at the lunch and we're gonna talk about intention and focus. Mm-hmm. And so those of you that are local, if you're available, it's September of 2025. If you're listening to this 5 years from now, you missed it. But but hopefully we're going to include it in the information for the lunch invite, this podcast episode. And so, yeah, thank you, Karen, for all your insight and sharing. And
always good to see you, Leslie, and to be spend time with you.
So thank you, everybody, for joining me for the Why Not Today podcast, your space for practical tools, real encouragement, and courageous growth. Whether you're launching something new or navigating a pivot, I hope you leaving today's episode with a clear next step and a reminder that you're not alone. If you're ready to take the next step, book a free coaching session, or just explore what I'm doing on the Why Not Today website, which is whynotsaymovement.com. And this podcast is your bridge from inspiration to action, and I'm here to walk with you every step of the way. If this episode spoke to you, share it with a friend, leave a review, and don't forget to subscribe so you never miss a moment of courage. And remember, you don't need to have it all figured out. You just need to take the next brave step. And why not today? So thanks, Karen.
Bye, Leslie.